Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 6, 9. I'm giving a Father's Day message. It's a word about our Heavenly Father. You know, so I was just pondering this. There are many who don't have an earthly father. Of course, everyone did in the beginning. But for many, that individual would be passed away in your life. And there would be some who did not have a godly earthly father. And you may have had things you had to overcome as a result of the sins of a father. But if you don't release those things and forgive, you end up bound to your father's sin. You may not have had a good example. But that's never to be an excuse for us. Many people just always latch on to an excuse for themselves and don't press on in God. Where you didn't have an earthly father, we need to look to our Heavenly Father to provide what was not given to us in the natural. And therefore, we need to be thankful wherever there was godliness in an earthly father, because that's a great blessing to be thankful for that, but always be looking to our Heavenly Father for the true and deep revelation of the whole fathering aspect. Well, you find Matthew 6, 9. Jesus begins to teach them about prayer in some preceding verses here. And here he goes into what's referred to as the Lord's Prayer. But this is not a prayer to recite God. And he's saying in the previous verses, we don't just say vain repetitions. He's not giving us prayers to recite, but the principles of the prayer life. Prayer is your communication with God and your drawing upon him is going to come out of the communication. So what he gives us here is the principles that govern the prayer life. And he says here, after this manner, pray, or according to this pattern, pray in this way. And the first part of the pattern of the prayer life, he says, Our Father. That's my title, Our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, the word hallowed is the word to sanctify or to set it apart. Or he's saying here, in the beginning of our prayer time, we acknowledge the name of the Father. That's the beginning point of our prayer life, which actually is what we would call praise. When you give praise, you acknowledge the quality and characteristic of someone. If you were to say, oh, you're a good cook, that would be praise. You're acknowledging a quality of something you do. God is a good father. There's the qualities of him are all good. So when you give an acknowledgement of characteristic or acknowledgement of what someone does, that constitutes what we would call praise. Worship is the adoration of the person. Praise is the acknowledgement of the qualities. So in setting his name apart or sanctifying his name, we are acknowledging his qualities, which is praise. So praise is a part of the prayer life. Many times people, because they don't understand, think praise is just singing songs. A lot of people sing songs that don't mean anything. I don't even like listening to songs like that. Songs about how I feel. How I feel doesn't mean anything. Who is God? That has power. Who do I say that he is? That has power. How I feel is worthless and meaningless. And that's how the world looks at life through their feelings, where we need to look at everything in the light of who God is and what does he say about it. And is it upon that basis that we can release the life and power of God into everything we're encountering? So the beginning of our prayer life is our Father, or God as Father, we acknowledge his qualities. Now, a scripture that's very, very important to me, it was such a revelation to me relative to ministry and how to approach my walk with the Lord, was Matthew 28:19, where Jesus spoke after his resurrection and said, "All authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing," and I'm quoting it now, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." That is saying nothing about water baptism. That, again, is a misapplication of that scripture. But the object of the scripture there is teaching. To make disciples is to teach. And he goes on in verse 19, he says, making disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded. So to teach, that's used twice. Water baptism's used zero. The word baptize simply means to immerse. So what he's saying is go forth into all the world and saturate or immerse the people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or the character of the Father, the authority of the Son, and the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is key to our life. In Zechariah 10:1, it speaks of asking for the Lord of rain and of the latter rain. In Deuteronomy, and I considered doing a whole teaching on this just with the rain, but I felt, no, it's on the Father, but we'll just tie this thought in. God as a Father wanted to give the abundance of rain so the land would be blessed. The inheritance he had for Israel was a land that would be fruitful. He wants us, in the new covenant, he's given us the Holy Spirit that we would be fruitful in our life, fruitful in our spirit, fruitful in everything we do. That's the objective of the Father in our life. But without the reign of God, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, you can't do it on your own. You can plant crops all you want, but if you do it on dry ground, it will wither and die. It won't even really spring up for the most part. It's not even going to come out of the ground. It takes water. And God gives the early rain and the latter rain. The early rain came like around October, November, which was after the harvest, preparing for the next year. Then the latter rains, when you begin to sow the seed, that there would be more gentle showers coming in the springtime, a consistency. And the two thoughts there is you have the gentle showers and saturation. And that speaks to our life where we need to be saturated in God. And then there's times you need a daily just input. And as we go through our life, now this coming week we have our Armada Landmark. That's a saturation time. Everyday meetings, the afternoon at night, saturation. You need that. You need that to be saturated. Just as the ground has times of saturation. I remember when I used to do masonry work, you lived by the weather forecast. You know, if it's going to rain, you couldn't work. And so you became keenly aware about rain and about cold, when it's going to be too cold to go out and work. And this one crazy mason I worked for, he thought he had to go out and work. It'd be 5 degrees. We'd go out, thaw out the sand pile. I mean, it'd take like an hour or two to just thaw out the water barrel and the sand pile, building a fire under them, mix mud, start to spread it on the wall and freeze right on the wall, so we'd throw it all away. So we'd waste 2 hours, but at least he felt good that he tried. And I'm all the while thinking, there's no way we're going to be at work. It's 5 degrees out. This is crazy. But he felt he had to do. Oh, my, why did I even say that? Oh, saturation. There's times that you need certain things. And we need to be saturated where the ground of our spirit is just saturated. And then there's the continuation. You need a daily showers of the Holy Spirit, some time with God every day. But there are also times where there's a saturation. And that's an important part. Oh, I know what I was getting at. He told me November is the rainiest month of the year, Pennsylvania. I didn't know that prior to that. I didn't really have any reason to think about it. But when you live by the weather to work, you become aware of things like that. And it's kind of interesting because some parts of the world, rainy seasons are different. But you'll have times where the ground's saturated and then going into the winter and things like trees will root down deep during the cold season, but that moisture's down in there. And the root system grows in the winter, but then in the spring and summer, it starts shooting out towards the sky because of the warmth. So it needs those showers through the spring and summer. But that time of like, after the harvest, there comes the time where it's the saturation of the earth to get it ready for next year. And we need saturation. And according to what is based on this premise, Jesus said that we need to go forth and people need to be immersed or saturated in a certain revelation of the character of the Father, the authority of the Son, the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the word name speaks of authority, character, and power. It's not, you know, like the letters of a name, Jesus, but it's the authority of Jesus Christ as Lord of our life and what he did in his redemptive work. It's the character of our Father, who's a faithful, loving Father, good, good Father. Like that song, as I was meditating, that's all I could hear. It's a good, good Father. That's who you are. And I'm just like hearing this over and over in my spirit. Because it's on my playlist, and I hear it every day. So it's like stirring on the inside of me. One of the reasons why some people do not take off in their spiritual growth is they never really had a time of saturation. Hear what I'm saying. Some people take off early on as a believer. Because they were saturated early on in the right thing. If you're hearing what to do, what to do, what to do, more than who he is, that word will create a works mentality. Because we cannot focus more on what we do than the one we're doing it for, the one whose power is enabling us to do it, the one whose love is the whole motivation of our life. We must be primarily saturated with a full revelation of who he is. And then out of that, we do the right things. Many ministries do not understand this or don't have that revelation. And they unknowingly lead their people into a works mindset. All the while they may be putting down living by works, but they're actually feeding it. Anytime we focus more on do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, than simply who he is, you will absolutely, in all probability, not even being aware, enter into a works mindset. And there's all kind of bad things come out of that. But as you're immersed in his love for you, that's what makes you want to serve him. That's what stirs your heart. I want to go worship. I can't wait to the corporate appointed time, Sunday morning, or whenever a church gathering is, Saturday night, or whenever it is. I can't wait for that because I'm immersed in knowing his love for me. As we're immersed in his faithfulness, knowing his faithfulness, we have a peace and a rest. Faith comes very natural to us because we know we're in covenant with the living God. And on I go, as I'm immersed in knowing he is Lord. I don't have to fear anything. He's with me. He's Lord. He's provided everything in the covenant. He's redeemed me. Sin has no power. Satan has no power over me. Become immersed in these things. That's where true liberty is. The person who enters into the Christian life with this very passive, minimal commitment. And it's like even a big deal to get them to go an hour, two or three or whatever to church. Like that's some big deal, some big sacrifice. If that's a big sacrifice to you, you have very little revelation of the living God or what he's delivered you from. When we realize he's delivered us from sin and destruction and a destiny of hell, you should want all of him that you can get. And see, as we're immersed in his word and we really know his heart, we know his love for us, that he so loved us, he sent his only begotten son to die for our sin. As we see that, it's like, God, I owe all to you. I couldn't free myself from bondage or sin. You gave me life. I give it all to you. I just want your presence in my life. So the young believer needs to be saturated. And that's what carries you forth into a deeper Christian walk or into the power of God and all of that. And it's so sad. So many, they just struggle and don't really enter in and wonder why. We need to be saturated in the name of our God. So he says here, our Father, hallowed be thy name. I acknowledge your name. And with that, God's name is love. It is graciousness. It is mercy. It's long-suffering. It is faithfulness. As he revealed himself to Moses in Exodus 34:6, took him by the rock and he spoke. That's who he was. He is covenant-keeping God. He is faithful. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. He's the Lord, our shepherd. He is, and we can just keep, the God of peace. He's all these things and much, much more. So we acknowledge his name. This is the beginning of having a vital communion with him. Now, we express that more effectively in song, because the thing that music has the power to do is draw from deeper in your soul, unless you're just robotically singing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him. He doesn't want this robotic deal going on, but from our heart. You see, music is a tool that helps us pull from deep within us. If you're so self-conscious and sort of full of yourself, you're thinking, well, what am I going to sound like? What's somebody going to think? What does God think? That's what really matters. What's he think? Don't worry about what other people think. What's God think? And what God thinks is, I hear your heart. You're bringing us out from the very depth of your being with all of your heart. The great commandment, love God with all of your heart. Half-heartedness should be like, just appalling to us, like a foul odor. Appalling. All of our heart. God says, yeah. And the praises from the depth of the heart, that's like a sweet fragrance to God, a sweet smell. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. We set your name aside. Hallelujah. And we do this daily. It's like showers. But then we have to, at some point, I hope it's best if it's in the beginning of our life, but time's a saturation. We're just, I mean, that's all we're taking in. It's all we're hearing. It's who he is. And that will transform and change you. Hallelujah. The name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then you can really look at what he wants you to do. And you know why you're doing it? Out of a love for the Father. You know sin and demons can't stop you. The Holy Ghost dwells within you. He's empowering you. There's no excuses. It takes all excuses away. The Holy Spirit's empowering me to do the will of the Father. So in the teaching on the pattern of prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth. Praying for the will of God. And that begins with us knowing the will of God in the ministry of the Father, an earthly Father, which is patterned after the heavenly Father. is to reveal to you how to live or how to walk, what to do in life, be it if you want to call it work or just how to treat people, how to act. My wife and I were talking last night with some neighbors having like this big party. And it seemed like maybe a young person graduated or something. And that was okay. But when it goes on past 11 o'clock and there's however many people out in the yard, dozens and dozens, and you have people sitting in their cars with boom, 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 and you're not showing respect to the neighborhood because you're keeping us all awake with all your noise. And we were discussing this at breakfast this morning. Didn't someone teach them to respect their neighbor? Obviously not. Or you wouldn't do that. We would never think of doing that. Well, obviously they weren't taught. They didn't know. And because you don't know certain things, you're not going to handle yourself right. You're not going to do the right thing. And a father's ministry will instruct, here's how to live. Here's how you handle yourself. As simple as showing respect. You respect your mother, son, or you're going to pay a price for it. You have to teach respect. That's part of a fathering ministry. God makes his will revealed to us. His will, how to live, how to walk. Give us this day our daily bread. A father's ministry brings provision to us. And it's appropriate just to simply ask for the provision of God. We need lots of things continually. While you're on this earth, you're in a continual state of need. Therefore, we continue to release faith as well as we work at what God enables us to do and provides for us. And we trust God and believe God for his provision. A father provides for his family. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A father sets morality for a family. A father carries the authority which says this is what's right and wrong. That's part of the ministry of the father. And many people say, no one's telling me what to do. In taking that position, you become a bastard. A bastard means a child without a fathering ministry. And that's what Hebrews chapter 12 calls it. Calls people that are bastards because they will not allow themselves to be instructed or corrected or to be convicted of what's right and wrong. I'll decide what's right and wrong. And that's part of the essence of the New Age movement is to deny God who is creator as father. No one, including God, can tell me I'm right or wrong. I'll decide what's right and wrong. So now they remove themselves from that, and the sinful nature is going to then dominate and rule every part of their life. Forgive us, Father. You're the moral authority. You provide a sense of moral authority and stability and instruction and conviction to me. So we continue to look to him to forgive us wherever we're falling short of our Heavenly Father's expectation. And here's some good news. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You don't have to be afraid to go to him and say, Father, forgive me. You know, come up short here. In fact, we should run to him because we already know him as a merciful, gracious Heavenly Father. He is quick to forgive you immediately as you come to him. But our forgiveness is contingent upon forgiving others. As we see that forgiveness to us from him, we need to treat others or handle others in the same way. And in verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. If you're being led by the Spirit, he will always lead you away from sin. He hates sin because it destroys the object of his love, which is people, which is you. Sin destroys us. He'll always lead you away from it. So people that make excuses for sin are not being led by the Spirit. They're not letting God be a father. Part of that fathering ministry is to lead you in the right path, to direct your life, to instruct you in how you're to live and to walk. Again, many people refuse that out of their own pride and obstinance, and they say, well, I'm going to decide what I'm going to do. But God leads us away from everything of Satan and into the things of the kingdom of God. If we're truly being led by the Spirit, we will experience the fruitfulness of God in our life, which the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. He's always working to lead us into that. He's not going to lead you into something to put fear in you. He's not going to lead you into something that would take you to a place of lust and no contentment. Deliver us from evil. God always wants to deliver you out from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And he sums it up here by stating, yours, Father, that's coming back to praise, is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, or the what, the how, and the why. The kingdom of God, the what. God wants to lead us into his kingdom, the love, joy, peace, into the place of the fruitfulness of God in our life. He's always working toward that end. Thy kingdom come. We're believing God for the manifestation of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's what we're looking to him to lead us into. That's the what. That's where he wants to take us. We begin with who he is, our Father. But he wants to take us into the things of the kingdom. The what. You know, with that comes the what to do. What we need to do. What his will is for our life. Thine is the kingdom, the power, as we walk in his ways, as we obey him, the power of God's released. When you consider entering into something, you have to ask yourself, well, how am I going to get there? So like if you want to buy a house and you find out it costs $200,000, where's that money coming from? How am I going to do that? And you might find out, oh, the bank will loan you that money. Or however you're going to, you saved it up. I have it because I worked and saved it. Very few people do that, by the way, because you usually need the house before you can save that much money. But how is that going to come to be? When the angel spoke to Mary, you're going to bring forth the Son of God. How can this be? I don't even have a husband yet. I'm not married yet. How can this be? The power of the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And it's the same for us. How are you going to do certain ministry thing? But the power of God coming upon you or bringing it to pass through you or in your life. How will this be? So we have to answer the questions of what and how by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be released as we're being led into the things of the kingdom of God, obeying his word and the glory forever or the why, all for the glory of God. Why would I serve the Lord? Why would I walk with him? It's that through the fruitfulness of God in my life, he be glorified. That becomes the whole motivation of our life, which comes out back to the beginning, seeing the love of the Father for us, that he sent his Son. We love him. We love him because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. We're going to pursue him because we see that love for us. Everything starts there. That's why in the prayer life, that's the wise place to start. On anytime you want to pray, begin to acknowledge who he is. And especially his love for you. Because that's what draws you to him. So we begin and we end with that. We begin seeing his love for us and we acknowledge it. It stirs a praise in our heart. And at the end of prayer, we say, Lord, it's your kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. I give you all the glory. As we receive anything from the Lord, as we experience anything of him, we return and give the glory to the Lord. We don't just walk off like nine of those lepers did. Wow. Hey, I'm healed. Now I can go and do what I want to do. No, we return back to the Lord, to give him glory and praise because he's blessed us. And it is the cycle of life is fixing our eyes on him, his love for us. And as we experience him, we return back with praise unto the Lord. Well, you ready to enter into that? The worship team come. Praise God. And hearing this word, we can put it into motion right here. We can sing praises to our God. We can declare the name of the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. We're going to hallow his name. That's not a word we use in present day in English. So we're going to acknowledge his name. Set it apart and speak it forth and sing it forth from the very depth of our being. And there's a ministry of the Holy Spirit that is released to us as we do that. If you just come and just sit there like a bump on a rock or just go through the motions, you won't experience much anything. I'm telling you like it is. But if you'll truly put everything else aside from your mind, just acknowledge him from the depth of your being. Singing that out, speaking that forth, praying his name. And then we, out of that, we begin to acknowledge the other parts of the ministry of the Father. He's going to show you how to live. He's going to provide for you. He sets the moral tone, what's right and wrong. He leads you in your life. Those things will all follow, but all begins and ends with giving our praise to him and acknowledging who he is. Hallelujah.